into this message. I do thank God. Now some of this theme here might be something that's too old for some of you. Here's just something that crossed my spirit when I was thinking about this. Some of y'all will remember there was used to be a program on TV a long time ago called The Outer Limits.
Yes.
And I think people have revisited that idea a few times here in recent times. And it was kind of strange. How many of, just off the top, how many are familiar with The Outer Limits? Okay, mostly everybody except some of the smaller kids. Now, I think somebody has redone some of that series over again. But it was a very odd program. It used to come on and TV was relatively new in those days, so they would come on and they show you a test pattern and they say, do not attempt to adjust your TV. You know, it's like, wow, you get up because you're going to go try to do something because it's all messed up on the screen. And then they said, do not attempt to adjust the controls. We are in control of the horizontal and the vertical. And they start telling you, we can do this, that, and they start showing you how they have control over what you're seeing on the screen. And then they say, because our next place is a journey to the outer limits. And actually, you know, they tell you some bizarre story along the lines of the Twilight Zone or some of those videos and pictures that were popular in those times. So I just thought about that because you'll see why as we get into the message. Here, we're going to go ahead and read just a few verses. Now, these are verses that you are familiar with for the most part. We're going to take a look in the book of Habakkuk. That may be hard for you to find. Some people say Habakkuk. Depends on how you want to pronounce it. I think Habakkuk is pretty good. And it's an odd name. You don't hear that anywhere much, do you? And then we're going to look there at the second chapter, because this particular verse is quoted oft times in the New Testament.
That's right.
So we want to take a look at Habakkuk, or Habakkuk chapter number 2. Just a couple of verses. And also the book of Romans, which is one of our mainstay books in the New Testament. We're going to take a look at chapter number 1, just a couple of verses, 16 and 17. So let's read Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Thou, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Famous words from Habakkuk, the prophet from the Old Covenant. Now in the New Testament, from the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The connected verse, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And what I want you to see that connects our Old Covenant text with the New Covenant text is that quote that we just read, the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, we've been talking about faith, and I guess that's how my mind got into this direction as we've been studying through the book of Hebrews on Tuesday. And we arrived here in the book of Hebrews to the chapter in chapter 11, which is called by many the Great Hall of Fame of Faith. Yeah. And so faith is a big discussion, and we've been having this throughout the whole season. I guess you could say it's probably the running theme underneath every message, mm-hmm. to some degree, because the scripture says that faith, without faith, first of all, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is basically a very important part of every lesson that we study. We are people of faith. We're called people of faith. Why? Because we believe what God said.
Yes.
And by believing what God said, this is where faith even comes from. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing by the word of God. So it is through our hearing of the word of God that faith is transmitted to us.
That's right. Amen.
And so it has to do with what we believe about what God says. Okay, so there's no separating what God says from faith, because faith must be the product of what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important, because God has given us a specific set of words. And the scripture even starts with that. If you think about it, it says, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It says the same was in the beginning with God, in the prologue to John. And it says all things were made by him, and without him there was not made anything that was made. In him was life, speaking of Jesus.
Yes. Right.
And the life was the light of men.
Right.
He said, the light shineth into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. So right there, that sets some boundaries. God sent his word in order to give people, in fact, he created everything by his word. We looked at that also.
Yes.
In the book of Hebrews. And it says that it is by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
By the word of God.
So everything that exists is because God spoke it out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Things came into existence. So that's the big argument, even among, as we looked at last week, people of science versus people of faith, or people of philosophy versus people of faith, or people who are atheists versus people of faith. There's all kinds of different people, and they stand on one side or the other. Either they are in faith and they believe God,
yep,
or they're in some other area. And that's really only two places you can be. You can be in faith and believe God. In other words, you believe what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't believe what God says. Simple as that. Okay? And so what I wanted to talk about, though, is that there are parameters of faith. In other words, when you come in, John put it this way. He says that there are spiritual children. People who are born again. You have to be born into this faith. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born from above. So you start off as a child. Then John says that there are children or young men in the faith, as he talks in 1 John. In other words, you grow up a little. The more faith that you acquire, the more you grow up in the spirit. Spiritually, you become a young person or a young man.
Yes.
Then he says there are fathers in the faith, which are people who are like elders, we would say. In other words, they're a little bit more nurtured, a little bit more experienced. They have had opportunities to see what God said and how it works out. They have been through trials and difficulties and circumstances in their life, and they have learned to wait on God.
Yes.
Even when trouble and difficulty comes into your life.
Yes,
you know what you find out when the longer you're in faith, you find out the more testing you receive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just being in the world is a test.
Yes.
You don't have to go very far to be tested. I mean, we're constantly being tested on every side. But you see, the fact is, when you continue in faith,
mm-hmm,
you learn that no matter what kind of test or trial I've been through, God has never forsaken me.
Never.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
When the trouble came, it looked like it might consume me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was worried about it.
Yeah.
But God brought me through. We always have that but God.
Yes.
And so the more experience you have with knowing what God says,
mm-hmm,
and that it applies to you, that God loves you,
yes,
just like you are. A lot of times people think, you know, I analyze myself and I don't find... That's why a lot of people stay out of church.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think, oh, everybody in the church has got it all together and their lives are perfect, and look at me, I'm over here and I don't have everything together and my life is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that the church people have problems in their life.
That's right.
We might look at our life and say it's a mess in a lot of ways, different ways. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes that keeps people out. Plus you have enemies,
mm-hmm,
who are working against you. You have the devil who likes you to think, oh no, God's not interested in you.
Right.
You know, you need to stay out there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to show you the real deal. You know, the devil. Now, the devil works against you.
Yes, he does.
He's trying to stop you from understanding that God loves you just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
God made you, and he loves us like we are, but he also loves us too much to leave us we are. Because we talk about the second enemy that we have, which is the flesh. We always discount ourselves. Every one of us discounts ourselves. We don't think as much of ourselves as we should. And in some ways, we think too much of ourselves than we should. But it works both ways. It does. Sometimes we're inflated. We have an inflated idea of who we are. And, you know, we think more of ourselves than we should. Sometimes we compare ourselves with one another. Anyway, you know, Michael Douglas, I don't know. You know, we compare ourselves with him. Man, he's very spiritual. And look at me. I don't have it going on. Or vice versa. You know, or maybe you think you're spiritual and somebody else looks like they're not making it. So there's a lot of things, but that can militate against you.
Yes, it can.
Okay, and then the world at large, all that confusion that I mentioned, philosophers and all these different kind of people, you know, telling you, oh, we believe it happened like this. And some of them will even say, we have scientific evidence that it happened like this. And that's what they do. You see what I'm saying? They set it up and they tell you, well, you know, and they give you all these ideas about how things came to be that oppose what God said.
That's right.
And so what I wanted to say about this outer limits thing is that we all have limitations to where we are in life. You have some things that you have learned. You got some spiritual stuff under your belt. You feel like you're pretty good with it. You know, but you also know you have destiny in front of you. And God has a job that we are all doing on earth. That's every right. one of us. We have a reason why you're here. Sometimes we struggle with that. What's my reason? What am I supposed to do? Where am I? You know, how do I fit into the picture? You know? And, but God has answers for all that. And he wants to take you places where you don't know and teach you things that you have not thought about in the outer limits of faith. There's like ways, some deep things about you and how you got to be where you are that God wants to reveal to you. And I just wanted to pull up a couple of examples to show you here today. So I was thinking about a few, and I thought about Habakkuk, or Habakkuk as we like to say. And his story is really a good one. He's one of who is called the minor prophets. Keep in mind, they're minor not because their message was any less than anybody else's. It's just that their message or their contribution to the total of Scripture was less words.
That's it.
It had less content. In other words, Habakkuk is done in just three to four chapters. Some of them only had one chapter, depending on who they were. And some of them had two or three. Daniel has as many as 12. And so they're all called minor prophets, although Isaiah, for example, writes 66 chapters of stuff. Moses writes the law from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And so you have people who have more content, and they're called major prophets, or either the lawgiver, like Moses. So this Habakkuk, even though he only wrote a few chapters, he has a lot of powerful stuff to say. And I think we can get some good information from him today. Habakkuk says this, he's in a turmoil because he sees the same controversy that I just explained briefly to you. He sees the coveted people have kind of gotten complacent. Y'all know what that means. That means you're saved, and so now you don't think you need to exert as much effort as you used to continue your walk with God. Sometimes when we're new in the faith, we're hungry for God, just like a baby. A baby wants nothing but to feed on milk and, you know, and get all your attention. The baby will make noise and not let you have sleep at night because I need your attention right now. And we're kind of like that when we're born into the family of faith. We're anxious to learn, and then we get in there and we find out there's bumps and bruises, and people sometimes may not respond the way we think they should, and all kinds of stuff within the family of so-called family of God. We might have controversial things that cause us or stifle our growth or cause us to think that we're not moving forward. Habakkuk had a similar thing going on. If you take a look at his book here, and I just want to just give you a brief summary of some of what was happening there. Israel had gotten complacent. They said, we are the covenant people, and they didn't believe that God was even dealing with Gentiles so much. And the Gentiles hated them. They always did. Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew, just so you know, just to give you some identification for that. So anyone who is not a Jew, any other nation that did not come out of the 12 tribes of Jacob, or referred to in the scripture as Gentiles. Okay, now keep this in mind. I'm going to back the train up just a little bit here. If you go back far enough, you'll find out that the Gentiles were here first, and God called the Jews out of the Gentiles.
Yep.
So people soon forget where they came from. They didn't exist first, and then there were the Gentiles. It's just the opposite. The Gentiles were first, and God called Abraham out of the Gentiles, told him to get out of your country and away from your kindred and out of your father's house. Come to a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless him that blesses you and curse the one who curseth you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He said that to the Chaldean Gentile, Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham didn't have any kids. He was 75 when he was called. So it was not likely, we say, that he would have offspring because he hadn't had any yet, and it had been 75 years. But God made that happen. God gave the promise, and he made it happen. And so eventually, just to give this a real quick nutshell treatment here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we know when Abraham hit about 100 years old, the seed developed, and his name was called Isaac.
Yeah.
And then Isaac had sons, and he had a son called Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons that became the tribes of Israel. And so from that time all the way up till this time that we're looking at here with the book of Habakkuk, we see that the Jews went through a lot of changes.
Oh, yes.
And they had a lot of stuff happen. What happens, and I think this is true, over a long period of time, people, when they are under the covering in the shelter of God, have a tendency to get laxed. And so that's what you see a lot today when you look at the visible church. There's a lot of stuff where people are laxed about the things of God. So we have to be careful. I always want to sound the trumpet. Habakkuk saw the same thing in his time. And I'm just going to summarize a few things here. Habakkuk chapter 1, he says here, this is the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee for violence, and thou wilt not save. He said he looked at the situation, looks like I'm praying, and my prayers are only going to the ceiling and coming back. You're not doing anything. So his complaint is against God for unanswered prayer. Lord, look at how the world's getting. Look at all this violence. Look at the corruption. Look at the covenant people. They're all out of whack. They're not doing like they're supposed to. And I'm crying out to you, and you don't even answer me. Wow, you ever feel like that? You pray, you ask God about something, and you feel like he's got a deaf ear closed to you? But you know he's not, because he's blessed you so many times.
That's right.
Yeah. He brought you a long way to get to where you are.
Yeah.
But it just looks like, okay, God, I'm crying out, and I'm crying out, and I'm crying out, and what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you somebody else had that situation that you know about in the New Testament. Remember Paul said, I sought the Lord because I had a thorn in the flesh.
Right.
It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat up on me.
Yeah.
The devil was beating up on me, Paul says. In 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
He said, so I sought the Lord
three times.
Yeah. You know what? And when the Lord doesn't ask you, it doesn't mean no.
No.
It might just mean wait.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just wait.
Yes.
I'm not saying no.
Yes.
And then he asked again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord didn't answer. Mm-hmm. He just said, wait. An answer, a no answer from God is not necessarily a no, because there is no answer.
That's right.
It just might mean you need to wait.
Right.
And then he asked him the third time, and when he did answer, guess what God said?
My
grace. No. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to remove that thorn. I wanted you to think about it a long time. And I let you think about it. I let you simmer in the fact that you have it.
Yeah.
That you have a difficult issue in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That you want me to just take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And now I tell you, my grace is sufficient for you. So I'm not going to take it away. The answer was no, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
After three times.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that text is in there?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I can know that some of the things we're going through that we present to God.
Yes.
He may say no. He's God. He knows best.
Yeah.
You know? But he's going to always do the best thing for you.
That's right.
Amen.
And so what he's doing is moving you from one spot in your faith
to
another spot. And this is like in the outer limits, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Because you wonder, why am I getting over here in this area, Lord, where you're telling me no,
that's it.
But it's not what I really think I need.
That's it.
And so you're going to have some stuff like that in your life.
That's it.
The longer you grow in the faith, the more you will understand. Paul said, then I learned rather to rejoice in the fact that he said no. Because when I'm weak, then am I strong, because his grace and his glory comes upon me in my life.
Amen.
See? And so we don't know what that thorn was. People have said throughout the years, oh, it could have been this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Different things, but it doesn't really say. But it was something that troubled him, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit put it in his spirit right down mm-hmm. that you asked God three times, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, see, these are the kind of verses you got to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be some stuff you ask God, you think you need it or you think you want it for some reason. You know what? I think back over my life, there was stuff I asked God for. I'm glad he didn't give it to me now.
Amen.
So glad.
Yeah.
I was out there doing stuff in the world, doping around, playing music, thought I was all that in a bag of chips, flying in, coming in with capes on and going through gyms and all this kind of stuff. And people thought it was great.
Yeah.
I was getting into myself. And I thought, well, you know, make me like Hendrix or some of them. But look what happened to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of those people ended up, which I pray he somehow knew God, because he was one of my favorite people. Because I thought he was a great musician. I think he changed music forever.
Oh, he most definitely.
But now, was he saved? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to question it one way or the other. I pray he was, because I really liked him. There's a lot of folk like that. I would be very delighted to get to heaven and see that he made it. But I don't know that he did, and I'm not trying to judge that at all. But these are some of the things at the outer limits of faith. Why does God say no sometimes? You know what? If I had made it into that thing I asked for, maybe I would have went out that way. I don't know. You never know. But I think God protected me from something, and I know now that he has something else for me to do. Because I was not thinking about God at that time. It's not that I didn't believe in him, but he wasn't the first thing in my mind. He was not at the center of my life. You know, I was enjoying all the accolades and all of that kind of stuff. But then now I look back at it and go, well, you know what, I guess, and I actually asked God, now this will blow you away, and I don't want to digress too far here. I actually asked God when I wanted to learn how to play. I never took any lessons. And I said, Lord, I see that person playing that guitar. I sure would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did? He said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Back then.
Okay.
So I picked it up, never took any lessons, and he said yes, and I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't taken no lessons.
Wow.
So, and he taught me some other stuff too. So I'm just telling you, God already knew, but I think he knew, I want you to do this so you can praise me.
All right.
Ultimately.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it was so I could go out and do all that other stuff. Swing in on a cable and all that kind of thing. You know. So, but that was not what he gave me that for.
Mm-hmm.
See? So there's some stuff in your life God has given you for a reason that you have not yet exhausted. And these are some things that God are taking you through. Habakkuk's crying out, the people are a mess, Lord, and why won't you save? Verse number 2. I'm looking in chapter 1 now. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. All the people are all full of strife and contention. He's supposed to be your people. Therefore is the law slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. When you look at the government and the police and all these organizations that are there for your good, and you find out corruption is all in it. For example, you can go and violate a stop sign or a light or something, and then they'll say, well, you know, if you go to the judge, pay him $150, they'll reduce that to a parking ticket. Well, that's bribery.
Mm.
Y'all accept bribery.
Yeah.
Supposed to take points off my license. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
But you will accept a bribe, in other words. So that's the way we've gotten,
yep.
Where money is everything. And so people's judgment is twisted. Justice is averted. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard the wonder marvelous where God says, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Said, I got some stuff going on you don't even know about. So some of what's happening in your life, God's got something going on you don't know about.
That's right.
It might look like this is coming undone and falling apart, and you don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying no attention to this over here, God, because look how messed up it is. Mm-hmm. Notice how whack these people are here who I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
They're bothering me day by day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way it seems. But God says, no, you know what? I got something going on you don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to work a work in your days that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe me.
That's right.
So God say, I got some stuff ready to blow your mind.
Yeah.
About some of the troubling things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just taking you to the outer limits of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand your faith can be deeper. Your relationship with me can be better. And you're going to enjoy some things about me that you don't realize yet. Mm-hmm. Just keep on hanging in.
Yeah.
Keep trusting me. So one of the most often questions about God that people have always asked, and I get asked this a lot, maybe you do, God, if God is good, why is there so much suffering and evil and persecution taking place even against good people?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do good people have to suffer?
Yep.
And the scripture says, where are the good people? It says, there's none righteous, there's not even one. Habakkuk the prophet was in turmoil because he was wondering the same kinds of things as we do today as he witnessed the ever-increasing iniquities of the people who were supposed to be the people of God, the covenant people, engaged in serious wickedness themselves and others being much worse, getting along without any judgment or justice. It looks like the people who do wrong keep getting more and more blessed. That's the way it looks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we think some of the stuff they acquire is a blessing.
Wow.
Yep.
And we have nerve to think that they're getting ahead of me and I'm trying to do right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the psalmist said that, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off.
Yeah.
He said, but and the Moses says, only with thine eyes shalt thou see the recompense of the wicked. You're going to see it. Just keep watching. God's dealing with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's dealing with it, but he is.
All right.
He's dealing with it. He liked to get these people saved. That's why he lets them go so long. He showed me this in the spirit.
Yeah.
Some people are allowed to go long in what they're doing because God is giving them additional mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving them time to run into a stumbling block where they can call on him so he can save them.
Amen.
I got folks in my life that I think I can see on that course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just praying along with the Lord that they will be saved. Because it's not his desire that any should perish. See? So he had a long fuse with me, but you don't want everybody else to have a short fuse.
That's right.
Blow him up now, right now. Because he ain't right. See? But that's the way you think once you get saved. Well, look what they're doing. You know what? But he had to wait a long time for you to ever get you turned around to where you are. And so basically he develops deeper faith in us. Habakkuk knew that prayer to God is the best solution in order to maintain peace and attain endurance to cope with things that press us to the outer limits when we get to the limit of our faith. And when these things may seem as if they are getting out of hand, so he kept his focus on God, knowing that he was available to be petitioned. You can always call on God no matter what you're going through.
Yes.
No matter how difficult it seems, God is there and he is able to be petitioned. You can get a prayer through.
Amen.
You see that? And that waiting on his answer is the best thing to do at such a time as this. So he learned that. You know who else I thought about? You can just look at almost anybody in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at some of them in Hebrews 11. Think about Job. You know about Job. We talked about him. He was doing well. He was being blessed. And the devil propositioned God and said, well, you know, the only reason he blessed you is look how you blessed him. That's the only reason he's so tight with you. You know, Job prayed, interceded for his people. He prayed for them because he made a sacrifice for them because they may not be making a sacrifice.
Right.
So I'm going to make a sacrifice for Lord and intercede on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And then the devil was allowed to strike the stuff in Job's life.
Mm-hmm.
Took him to the outer limits of his faith.
Yes, he did.
All his prognosticating friends came in with all their solutions, which were not solutions at all.
Yes,
told him about the mess you got going on, man. You got stuff going on in your life and you ain't even fessing up.
Right.
That's why you're being struck the way you are. That's what they said. And they blamed it on God. And they blamed it on Job. Job, you got sin, we don't even know about it.
Wow.
And evidently, because that's why you're getting this whooping that you're receiving.
Yep.
You see?
Right.
But he was just stretching Job's faith,
right,
taking him to the outer limits.
Yeah.
He went through all of that stuff that he went through.
Amen.
And then his wife even turned on him.
That's right.
Said, man, the way you looking, you done got all these sores, you're sick, you look horrible, you look a mess, we done lost everything. Just cuss God. And wow.
Yeah.
Stretching his faith, taking him out another notch. See that? But Job came back and he came through just like God knew he would. Like gold tried by fire, and God turned everything around, and his life was a blessing at the end is more than it was at the beginning. So we have to understand that we need to hold on. Sometimes you're going to go through some difficult things.
Hold on.
God didn't say everything's going to be a rose garden. Who's ever wrote that song? I'm not going to go there. Let me leave that alone. He didn't promise you a rose garden. You see what I'm saying? But the fact is, he does love you.
Yes, he does.
And he knows you're going through some stuff.
Whoa, yes, he does.
And I'm still with you. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. But you got to go through the valley. Who wants to go through the valley of the shadow of death? I'm going to share one with you myself, very personal, just the other day. I saw some strange signs on my own physical body. And I looked it up and it said something very frightening. And I said, you know, I haven't been to the doctor for a few years. Because I try to stay away from the doctor. Every time I go in there, y'all find something wrong. And it's, you know, you want to stick me and go put me through the mill and do all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said, well, you better get in there. So I went in there, got everything checked, all kinds of blood work. Then they didn't even call me. After I went in, I said, oh my God. My mind went to the dark side. I'm serious. You may not have ever had this happen to you.
Yes.
I don't know if you have or not. So you know what I did? I called them. I got on the phone, I called. What happened with my blood test? Oh, it's still in process. I said, oh, really? That made it worse. Then I called the next day. And I said, well, what's going on with that blood? Oh, we sent that to Mary and your PA, your nurse's assistant. She's going to call. He's like, oh, okay. So now you got to have time to prep up for what you're going to say to me. I'm thinking terrible stuff. You know,
and so
it's like, okay, you know, I'm thinking bad.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, God, whatever, you know, whatever you say, I'm good. I'm going to have to stand with it, whatever it is. And you know what? Eventually, then the next day, she called me, and I missed the call. I said, oh, my goodness, I missed the call. So this is the way you go, though. And so you're on the outer limits here. You just don't know what's going on, you know. And so I said, okay, fine. So finally, she called me from home. And she left a message, and I got the message, and she told me all my stuff looks good. I said, okay, praise God. But then she said, I do have this, and this that I want you to do. I said, okay, no problems. I'll deal with all that. But I just want you to see that sometimes you can be, your own mind will take you captive into something, and you'll go into a dark thought or a dark meditation. But God is still with you. He's still with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. So Paul said this. Think about Paul even. I have to just use him. We could talk about anybody. You could talk about Ruth. Talk about Rahab. She put her neck on the line because she said, I know your God is God, and these spies have come in. They said, where's the man who came up in here last night? Oh, there. See that dust way down there? That's them. Get down there. You might be able to catch them. And they went down there looking for him. And of course, she had them hid underneath some flax on her roof.
Yep.
So she put her life on the line to cover them because she knew that your God is God.
Yes, he is.
And I trust him and I believe him. And this was the harlot of Jericho. We could talk about so many people. Ruth, she took a chance. Naomi said, I better not come back. I left full and I'm coming back empty without my sons, without my husband. And if I come back with some foreign women, Lord only knows what may happen to me. Y'all just go home. Let's kiss goodbye and you go. The one girl kissed her goodbye and left. Ruth said, you know what? I'm sticking with you like a stamp on a letter.
Yeah, right.
I ain't coming to lose. I'm going to be with you till I die.
Yes.
I don't care what happens. Remember that? She made a vow, and she didn't know what she would be facing when she got up there, back to Jerusalem, in that area, in Bethlehem. But when she came back, God took her through, even though she was a Moabitess. So many people you can see, just look at their lives in the Word. That's why they're there.
Yes.
We'll be talking about this a lot more, because these people went to the outer limits.
Yes.
David, he got called to be the king.
Mm-hmm.
It was anointed to be the king.
Yeah.
And the king that was there hated him and persecuted him all as long as he could.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But David said, you know what? God gave me a promise.
Right.
And I am not going to touch the Lord's anointing because he anointed you to be king.
Right.
So I'm just going to go stay away from you and keep on doing what I'm doing until God gives me the thumbs up.
Right.
He already gave me the thumbs up. It's just a matter of time.
That's it.
That's what you need to know. God has given you a thumbs up on what you really need to do and what he wants you to do, but you may have to wait.
Wait on the Lord.
See, but don't give up. Just say, I'm going to the outer limits of my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust him no matter what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give him the glory all in between.
Oh.
I'm going to give him the praise.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a bowl of cherries all the time. And if it is, there are going to be some pits in it. You see, because cherries don't come without pits. So notice what Paul says now. And of all people, Paul, this is the one who hated the church.
Mm-hmm.
He hated it so much, I didn't just hate it, I'm going to be at a distance and hate you. I'm going to get up, get papers from the government and come down and smite you and put you to death and get rid of you. I'm rubbing you out.
Oh, yes.
That was his attitude. Until God turned him around on the Damascus Road. Now he's writing the church at Rome and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means Gentiles in the context. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and he quotes Habakkuk. And the just shall live by his faith. Now what happened to Habakkuk, just to bring a closure to this, so I want you to see. Habakkuk was concerned, and God told him, you know what, I'm going to do something you won't even understand. If I told you, you won't even believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Those Chaldeans, where I called Abraham from, where I got this whole group of Jews started from,
mm-hmm.
that very same nation is going to come in and smite you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to break down everything and take you all captive.
Right.
And you're going to be scattered to the four winds.
Right.
Wow. You're going to use the Chaldeans to chastise God's people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that blew his mind. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to go right back to where I was before I started my petition. I'm going to give you some praise.
All right.
I'm going to glorify your name. I'm going to lift you up because you know what you're doing.
That's right.
And I can trust you. You are my rock. You are my sword and my shield. You are my savior. He went back to giving God praise. Once he understood, God says, I got something going on. You won't even understand it.
That's right.
And it's going to go down right in front of you, but you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order for us to understand the sincere and vast love that God has for us, all we need to do is consider the crucifixion of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
which is the most scandalous event that has ever taken place in the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. God, the Son,
mm-hmm.
in the flesh, came into the world. He was in perfect splendor and majesty,
mm-hmm.
but he was born in Bethlehem of Judea,
mm-hmm.
in a trough laid up in a feeding trough. No room in the inn. The inn was for all the ritzy folks. But God was out in the barn, being laid in a manger, as they call it, which is a feeding trough. Mother had nobody to tend to her except Joseph. See? She was at the outer limits of her faith. You see what I'm saying? Because she said, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? And God said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and overshadow you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing in your womb shall be called the Son of God. So she had to go to the outer limits of her faith. Joseph said, I'm at the outer limits of my faith because I'm engaged to you and you're pregnant. How can I explain this to anybody? I'm just going to put you away. He made a decision. This just put you away, and then there won't be a big talk about this. And then the angel of the Lord told him, no, you're at the outer limits of your faith, son. But I want you to know that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
And he shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Yes.
Wow. So he got right up and he saddled her up. The government called for a census. He packed them up and they went out of town. And Jesus had to be done in order for him to be born in Bethlehem, like the prophet said. All of that, God timed it all out perfectly so his son could be born right in the place he was supposed to, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, in Bethlehem of Judea. And then, you know, Herod was on the throne, and eventually he is the king being born in Bethlehem of the seed of David and all of that. But it looked very reckless. But and then eventually, you know where it ends up. He begins his ministry at the age of 30, after 30 years, preached in the synagogue of Nazareth, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and all of those things he said there. And he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed up the book and gave it back to the attendant.
Yes.
And from that point on, we know 3.5 years later, he was crucified according to the law and the prophets.
Yes.
The Son of God. That was, and you want to see how reckless people are. People will take God and find him guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That's how reckless we are in our sin. And basically, when you see that happening, God is allowing it, and it seems like it's extremely reckless, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the cross. But yet it was victory.
Yes.
For everybody who believes.
Amen.
In all of time, God was accomplishing a great victory through the most scandalous event that has ever happened in the history of time.
Amen.
And it, because it is here that we can expand our personal faith in the outer limits, knowing that God loves us this much because he has given his son, which is the most far out thing that we can ever behold, other than the fact that he also raised him from the dead. Nobody expected any of that, but it was all written in the Word.
My Lord.
See, and if he did all that for me and you, which he did, and it's history. And I always like to tell people, history is really, it's like it says, his story.
Uh-huh.
It is the story of Jesus.
Yes.
Real history.
Yeah.
Good word, his story.
Yes.
The story of Jesus.
Yeah.
And he did all that for me and you. So we could have
faith.
And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when stuff looks out of order in your life, we have to learn this and cultivate. I don't do so well. I fall apart too. You know, but I have to think about it.
Yes.
I have to pray about it.
Yes.
And I have to ask God, do something to me, Lord, so that I don't react the way I do.
Yes.
Because I'm not right all the time. I have stuff that gets me off track. And the Lord has to bring me back. And he can make me do right. I really want to do right, but I just, somehow you get into a reckless mode when you think it should go the way you think it should go.
Yep.
And you don't let God have place in what you're doing or what you're going through. But trust him.
Yes.
Keep trusting him. Let him take you to the outer limits. Learn how to be out there and not be out of fellowship.
That's right.
That's what you have to do. You got to learn how to be out there and not be out of fellowship and know he's going to bring you back into the center of everything he has for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Get this. The devil can't stop it.
That's right.
He'll try.
Amen.
He'll try. He's not going to give up. He didn't give up with Job. He kept on. And Job just kept on. He finally got to where he called on God and trusted him, and God restored him with everything. You see? So go through whatever trial you have to go through. I think Mother McClure sitting there is an answer to it, because she's been through some stuff. And she's in here today. Right now, because her heart is dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah.
All of you who are here, you come in here out of whatever it is you've had to deal with, and we want you to come here and know God loves you.
Yes.
Whatever you're dealing with, keep on pressing.
Yeah.
Paul said, I forget those things which are behind me,
yes,
and forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark. He wrote that out of the present.
Yeah.
For the high upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Right.
See, I'm pressing toward tomorrow.
Right.
I just got to forget about some stuff that wasn't right in the past. I can't make no changes. But from now on, I'm pressing toward tomorrow. If you're here today, understand God loves you just like you are He wants you to be saved. He's given his son for you, raised him out of the grave, mm-hmm. so that you can know for sure that he has done the job perfectly. So if you're here today and you want to assure that you are saved, tell the Lord today that I need you to be my Savior. Come to him right now. He says, I'll accept you just like you are. You've never done anything that I don't know about, first of all, and I love you still. Anyway, before you were born, my son was crucified for you. I can say that to everyone in the room, or in the world, for all that matters. And people don't have Christ because they don't accept him. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. At one while he was. He thought, wow, that's a scandalous way to look at Messiah. He's going to come in and hang around with a bunch of fishing people and tax collectors and all that and talk about he's a Messiah. That's got to go. That can't represent the Jewish people. And he learned he was wrong. That is exactly what God said he would do. See? And he turned around 180 degrees on the Damascus Road. Lord, what would thou have me to do? You can't trust in yourself. Trust in Jesus. Jesus loves you and he's made a way for you. If you receive him, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So if you believe on him today, pray with me. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. Thank you for your son. Thank you. It's all about him. It's not about the church. It's not about the Jewish people, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So Father, we come believing in Jesus Christ, trusting that you raised him from the dead to show us that he is the only one with the solution to the problem of death. And so, Father, we put our faith entirely in Jesus Christ. No works that we did ourselves or nothing that we will do, but what he did completely satisfied your just requirements. And so we lean and depend on him, Lord God, the only one who is satisfying to you, who satisfied your wrath against all of our sin. And so we lean on Jesus right now, Lord. We ask you, save us right now. Deliver us, O God, and help us to stand even to the outer limits of our faith, Lord. That no matter what we have to go through, that we know that you are there with us. You said that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us. Only with our eyes shall we look and behold the recompense of the wicked. So, Father, help us to walk in Christ. Help us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under your shadow, O God. We give you praise and glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, maybe you're already saved and you need a church home, we invite you to come. At this time, we would love to be your church home. We believe God sent you here to be a part of this fellowship. Amen. So you may come at this time. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.